think we should get a new intro sound check? No?
No.
Probably not. Probably shock everybody.
Hey guys, welcome to Overcrest. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jake.
Where's
and
our
the intro, hey guys shirt?
The intro is classic, Chris,
it
along
is.
With
it
the
is.
Classic 911s flying by. The only thing I'll say is maybe it would be cool if it was actually our cars. One of them is your car.
One of them is mine.
Yeah, the other one is a short stroke RSR
built. Here's what would happen.
Our sound is good.
mine sounds great. Yours sounds great too, but here's what would happen. I'll imitate what it would be like, okay?
Okay.
Because
okay,
this is like filmed flat out on a launch train. Here's what it
would
be like.
Yeah.
That's what it would be. That would be the
well, we're not drag racing. You can wait for me.
No, you can't. I can't go flat out and wait for you at the same time. That's just that's not possible.
I get it. Yes. Okay.
Oh man. I have a heater update for you.
This is the pressing thing that we need to know on the podcast.
Yep, this is it. So I'm going to show you something. I got hit with this yesterday.
What the hell's that?
This is my light that goes on the ceiling.
Oh no, it melted.
It's like 3 feet away from the heater. Dude, that thing is mega. Because I just
Did
turned
you pull
it on
it down
yesterday
yet?
When
no,
I was...
No, I still see it.
No, it's still there. I'm going to have somebody else do it.
So you turned it on, even though you realized it wasn't, it's not good for the space.
Yeah, it's not good. But I was cold, and I was waiting for you yesterday.
Yeah,
and I was out here for
so
a long time waiting.
I know. I'm sorry.
And it got hot.
So you turned it on. And did it fall from the wall? Or the ceiling?
It fell from the ceiling, swung down an electric cord, hit me in the back of the head as I was looking... over the Mercedes. So, wham! And I thought my instant thought is that I was getting mugged.
In your own garage.
In my own garage, like some shady character had come in.
But hit you with something not heavy enough to actually knock you out or do whatever
damage.
Yeah,
like someone hit me in the back of the head with a wiffle bat.
Right. Like, why? Why? I thought you were going to say your immediate thought was your wife was hitting you for being, I don't know.
The seal, so that I get up and I touch the ceiling, couldn't even touch it with my hands. So
it was that hot.
Yeah, that's not good.
I found out why the gas leak existed too.
Is you didn't tighten the gas line. It was just loose. So I tightened up the gas line and there's no more leaks.
Where the copper goes to the hard line?
Yeah, you didn't tighten that.
Yeah. Now that you say that, I don't remember tightening that.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Home Improvement by Jake. This is awesome because this is coming from the guy that was so concerned that I didn't have a proper decode box inside my wall. Yet
Correct.
Here he is leaving a gas line loose at
my house.
Well,
okay, it wasn't even able to fire up anyways, so I wasn't finished with the job because it wouldn't even work.
No, you just wanted me to slowly die of carbon monoxide poisoning or rapidly die from a high intensity explosion. Yeah.
Yes, that was amazing. Which would you rather?
I would rather go with the carbon monoxide way because I think you just get sleepy and then just go to sleep.
Yeah, it'd be less traumatic and cool.
Yeah.
Huh? Chris exploded.
I was working on the 911 and I pulled it off the trailer and it had no brakes.
Yes, for the second time since
it was clearly a master cylinder. So I ordered a new master cylinder from FCP Euro. And here's the thing. If I just would have bought it from them in the first place, it would be under warranty.
Right, and you could have just got a new one
because they have
FCP
lifetime warranty on everything. Free ad for FCP Euro here. I just would have ordered a new one, and they would have just, I don't know how it works. I've never used it, but I think you order a new one, and once you order it, they refund you, and you get your money back.
Yeah, I don't know if you need to send the old one back or, like, show your receipt.
Yes, you do. You have to show the old one. You have to send the old one back. All your orders are in their system, so you can just go back
and
do it. Can someone tell me that
you used to be able to do that with brake pads even with them?
I think I saw on the thing, it's like, hey, if you're returning fluids, they must be in a container that doesn't leak. And I'm just like,
wait, really? You can just
Yeah, you can just return.
That's amazing. I feel like we should clarify that before we...
I look really pallid. I'm going to turn up my saturation a little bit. I look really pallid.
I was just realizing, you know what's great about us being on video for everyone to see is I spilled my coffee and everyone witnessed it.
Oh, I didn't. I missed it.
Yeah, it's right there.
Okay, so okay. Working on the brakes. On the master cylinder on your car, your 911 and my 911, it's at the bottom of the car. There's no booster. There's no linkage that goes around. So I love the manual brakes. They're great. You get a direct feel like it's hard. I mean, it is. There's no assist.
The booster or the master cylinder is right there where the pedal is on the other side of the firewall.
It's on the other side of the pedal, which is on the bottom of the car. So it's covered by a skid plate. And you might be asking yourself, well, how do you add brake fluid to the master cylinder?
How do we do that?
Yes. So there are two. There's like little metal lines that come out of little rubber cups that press fit into the master cylinder. A master cylinder normally is just a plastic container. Or I'm sorry, the master cylinder reservoir is normally a plastic container that just goes.
It's attached.
It's just attached. You just go boop, and you plug it right into the top of the master cylinder.
But
there's no pressure there.
It's impossible to get to. They had to move the reservoir. It's a remote reservoir then, which is up into the front trunk area.
Yeah, so it's got these 3-foot lines that come all the way up. Anyway, so you have to press these into the master cylinder, and it's a total pain in the ass. I got it. It wasn't too bad. Maybe it's because it's like my third time doing it. Somehow, okay, I have a theory. I'll tell my theory later. Let me backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
So I put everything together, get it going, bleed the brakes, and the brakes don't work great. And I don't know why. So I keep bleeding the brakes. And then, of course, I'm an idiot. I'm using a power bleeder, first of all.
Yep.
So I'm not really thinking about how much fluid is in the system because you pour like 2 liters of brake fluid in this power bleeder.
Yep.
And then you just go wheel to wheel to wheel. So
here's an aside.
Yeah.
Do you keep the fluid in the power bleeder?
No. I usually get rid of it when I'm done because it collects
water. Okay, good.
Yeah, it absorbs water. Yeah, however,
moisture contamination.
Yeah, you can, but that's airtight. It's not like you're going to get a ton of moisture in there. It is airtight.
Probably not, yeah.
But yes,
like
I know exactly what you're saying.
Silica beads at the top of it, like inside. Ooh, there
inside,
you go. I like that.
In like a little boat floating inside the thing. No, so I basically bled the whole system with the power bleeder, and it still felt like shit, right? It just didn't feel good. Didn't feel great. So
morale,
like, okay,
I imagine, was low at that
point. Dude, I had to go apologize, to my wife because I was really mean. I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. She's like, I know, it's frustrating. I said, nope, it's not good. I yelled at her, just get away from me. I hate bleeding the brakes. I hate doing the master cylinder. Wait, so I got it all bled and it just felt really wooden. You know, it didn't feel great. I'm like, there's obviously still air in the lines.
Okay.
So I have my buddy Jason's here doing a window at my house. Super cool dude, helping me out. Him come out and push the pedal and it's going all the way to the floor. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. So we bleed the brakes the old-fashioned way, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So what's going on? I'm like, oh, I never put fluid in the reservoir. I bled the fluid out because I've been using the power bleeder, so then I had to start over and do it again. So then I had to go through all 4 sides, and now it was bled. It was fine.
I was just going to say, it's completely flush. There is no question that you hold fluid in the system. Yeah.
Yep, it's good. It should be good. It felt great. Okay, it felt good.
Okay,
So then to take it for a drive, I get down to Jeff's house. We're going to go play pinball and go do the Formula One thing at 311 RS, which was very nice.
Right.
Thanks to those guys for the invite. It was cool to watch Formula One amongst a bunch of
people. It was very cool. We'll talk about that.
And I just did. Good enough. And I push the brake pedal down really hard, and it just goes slowly to the floor.
What?
And I go, what the hell? I crawl under the car. No, I don't see any leaks. All right?
Right.
So then I drive and I realized this when I did like a fourth gear run on the freeway and they hit my brakes hard and there wasn't really any, which was not great. I just drove pretty carefully for the rest of the night. Didn't tell Jeff that I didn't have any brakes the whole time we were driving around.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't tell Jeff that he could have died at any minute. They weren't that bad. They worked, but they just weren't great. You can't lock the brakes up. I should be able to lock the brakes up. No problem. Anyway.
Oh, big time. Yes.
Yeah. So then I drive around a little bit, get home the next day, and I get to the auto parts store because I'm going to buy more brake fluid. And I sit there and I do the brakes really hard, like 4 or 5 times. And then I crawl into the car. Mm-hmm. Hey, look.
Just mash it.
A leak. Oh, I found a leak. Okay, what's leaking? It looked like it was leaking from the bleeder screw. So I go in, I buy a 10 millimeter wrench at the auto parts store, go in to tighten it. It's tight. Everything's tight. I check every single bleeder. They're all tight. Not my fault. I'm like, what's going on? I get home, pull the wheel off, and I have Irene come out. And I said, look at this and see where fluid comes out. She's like, okay. So she's standing there watching it. She goes, Dad, right there. And I come out there and she points. And it's one of the hard brake lines that comes out of the top of the caliper and goes into the car is leaking at the fitting somehow. And here's my theory. I have RSR spindles, which don't have a provision for the brake line to be attached. So it's vibrating. So I'm thinking it vibrated itself and like weakened or something. And like kind of maybe did like a hairline fracture, hairline crack at that fitting, you know, where it had been wiggling. Mm-hmm. And maybe I bumped it while I was bleeding the brakes and just kind of took it for its last life. Anyway, so I bent a new brake line. What's up? You're thinking.
I'm thinking, was the previous master cylinder actually bad or was this the problem the entire time?
It wasn't leaking before.
Okay.
Yeah, that wasn't the issue. It was just super spongy. Anyway, so I do all this stuff, bleed the brakes again, make a new brake line, blah, 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 put it together, bleed it like 1,000 times, bleed it with the power bleeder. I haven't bled it with my foot yet. I guess you're supposed to take like a rubber mallet and like tap the caliper on these calipers while you pop the bleeder open to try to shake any bubbles loose because they're hard to bleed.
Really?
I'm like, Jesus.
Oh, I've never heard that.
But it still is spongy.
Is that specifically with the S calipers?
I think there's a lot of calipers that are like this. That have issues with this, but it still doesn't feel great, Jake. And I haven't driven it yet. But even sitting in the driveway, it feels a little spongy. So then I go to the internet. I'm like, why? I bled the fucking brakes. There's no leaks. I did everything. Why is it still spongy? That's where I found out. Hey, use a hammer rather than Mars. And a bunch of people fighting back and forth over trying to figure out why they're the internet conversations with it were quite funny. I'm like, okay. One of the posts said, if you don't put a block underneath the pedal and you extend the master cylinder all the way to the floor to the end of its travel, you can damage the cup seals inside the master cylinder. And so then I Google that, and it's like very common that if you overextend the master cylinder, you can damage
the
seals.
Piston in the master cylinder.
Yeah, the cup seals, the little rubber seals. You can damage it. So now I'm thinking, is that why my brakes have sucked all along and I was never able to get them bled? Is because I damaged the master cylinder and it was never quite right. So it was always a little bit spongy. So I'm going to go through. I'm going to bleed them again. I'm going to use a little hammer guide. I'm going to tap the things and figure out what's going on and bleed them again. I might just wait to do it till next year now because I got to get the car over to you so you can put it in your place. And I'm just kind of, I'm kind of done.
So
it's going to be like 20 degrees and I'm just...
The overextension of the master cylinder piston, is that only when you're bleeding them, like all the way to the floor, manually bleeding them, right? Because otherwise your pedal should not go
to
the floor.
You're never getting to the
floor.
Right,
and there's no stop. I was thinking like, you know, there's a throttle stop and there's a clutch stop. There's not on the brake pedal, because that would be bad.
No.
That'd be defeat the
purpose. Yes.
Okay, so it's only when you're bleeding you're supposed to put a block of wood there so you don't overextend all the way.
Yes.
Interesting. Do you think that's a common thing for all master cylinders?
I think it is. It's just something I never did and never learned to do. You know, everything I've ever done is because I fucked up and then learned. So now I have fucked up.
Well, I'm going to have to remember that. So when you bleed brakes the old-fashioned way, put a block of wood under the pedal so you don't go all the way to the bottom.
That's correct. Which sucks because the first time I got in the car after doing everything and power bleeding them, the thing was hard as a rock and it felt awesome. And now it doesn't anymore. So I think I messed it up. I'm pretty sure. So anyway, I'll be sending that
back
to FCP.
To
try the warranty process out.
Absolutely. Okay.
So
that'll show up in the mail. It'll be great. It'll be like a nice surprise in a box.
A box of pain. Can you see what's behind me?
Well, I can't, but I was going to say, you know what is not a box of pain, Chris? Is petrol box.
Oh, it's not a box of pain. Yes.
Because that's a box of happiness. Every single month, they send you the latest and greatest gear for car girls and car guys in the automotive industry.
Do you think this Gatorade is still good? It's been sitting out here for a while.
You know what that looks like to me is your used brake fluid. I would confirm that is not actually Gatorade before drinking it. Wouldn't even try.
Still smells good.
Each month, PetroBox carefully selects items, including tools.
It's been refrigerated out here in the garage.
Yeah, because it's cold.
It's probably
perfect.
Yeah.
You should just keep your milk out there. Detailing supplies, apparel, garage gear, stickers, publications. They don't send heaters, unfortunately, as far as I know, but they send tools that might come in handy when installing that heater. They send 10 millimeter. I've never had a 10 millimeter impact socket with a 3/8 drive, which is going to come in handy because you always use a 10 millimeter socket with your impact driver. You know, have you ever seen the meme where it's like, I only like Bad Boys, and he's like, I use chrome sockets on my impact.
Have you ever broken one?
Oh yeah,
with an impact. I never have with an impact, but I have definitely broken them with
it's
too big
cheap.
Of a breaker bar.
Yeah. Regardless, PetroBox is awesome. There's two different levels to choose from. PetroBox Basic costs less than $20 a month. PetroBox Premium gets you even more gear for $39.95 a month. Check them out at mypetrobox.com. And you can, of course, use the code OVERCREST to save some money and get $6 off your first order. Okay, what else you got going on,
Chris? You know, there's a lot of people that skip the ads. Like, they go through and they skip the ads. You know, they go ahead 30
they
seconds or whatever.
They are missing out.
They're missing out on all the, like, additional humor that I throw in there.
Yeah, it's like, this is
gold.
They
always banter about the ads. Yeah, they're new every time. We don't slack off. You know,
that's right.
Generally not pre-recorded. Live reads.
Generally not.
All right, let's do a little bit of...
What do you know?
I have one more update, and then we'll do another ad after that.
Do I have updates?
I don't know. Probably not.
You don't think so?
I don't think you have any updates, because all you've been doing is...
I bought two new vehicles since we talked last, but we don't
care. Two of them?
Yes.
Okay, let me finish my last thing, and then you can talk about your
crappy cars
that you bought.
I'm just going to say, like, we don't have to talk about it, but...
No, I just forgot because they're so uninspiring.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know what the truck is, but I'm going to guess that's uninspiring as well.
It's terrible. Yes.
Yeah, okay, so I had to, if you look back here, you can see that my Mercedes has finally flipped around the right way in the garage.
Your internet isn't great, so I can't really see. You're an 8-bit Chris right now for me.
Oh,
that's not
how
it records. So everyone else watching will see it. But I personally
see
8-bit Chris.
The Mercedes flipped around backwards, or the right words. Is it right words? Forwards.
You now have the engine bay forward, yes.
I was like, what's the opposite of backwards? It's forwards. Yes, it is. Forwards
Correct.
Is the opposite of backwards.
Right words?
Anyway, so I, to get it in there, I had tried to figure out a way to get it into the garage.
Because it has engine in it, turns out.
No, it turns out. And it's very easy to push around. It's not heavy.
Yeah, but you don't have Mount Solberg style driveway, which I'm so excited to not have anymore, by the way, because I'm moving.
I bet, dude.
I don't know if I've mentioned that. I'm moving. But you do have a slight incline, so it'd be difficult.
You have
to
a slight incline. So it's not easy.
Yeah, push
on flat ground, super easy to push. Just to mention it. So I hooked up a pulley to the wall, and then I ran the pulley to the bumper, and then to my lawnmower, and tried to pull the car up the driveway. and
proceeded
to
pull the wall completely off of the garage foundation.
No, I did it right next to where it mounts into the concrete, so that wouldn't happen. It did.
Okay, good. Yeah.
The threads of the eyelet did not work, did not hold, but everybody was just like, why didn't you just put a tire behind the truck and just push it in? And do you ever do things, and here's the reason I bring it up, do you ever do things that are harder, do it the hard way just to, like, try and do something? Like,
absolutely. Yes.
Like, that was a dumb, super dumb way to do it.
I would have done that. I've done that stuff before.
I was like,
yeah,
I was thinking about getting a winch.
That.
Yeah, I was like, I need a winch to do it. I need to figure something out. Whatever. Yeah, okay. Well, I just want to make sure I wasn't crazy that I was trying to mousetrap it. You know, I should have just used multiple pulleys hooked up to multiple eyelets and then, like, the load on them again.
And then, I don't know. I see what you're saying. Basically a block and tackle situation.
Yes.
So it's not a single point of
pulling. Why don't you use a snatch block? I'm like, guys, I don't know what a snatch block is because I don't do four-wheel drive stuff yet. I'll get there, though. I'll get there, I promise. All right, so Jake bought a car.
You're going to get there. That's right.
And I don't understand the obsession with yellow cars.
Well,
but Jacob Solberg has purchased a S5 in yellow.
Yeah. Yes. Okay,
let's talk about Cayenne
kaput, right? Remember, got in an accident.
That. Yeah, it makes sense. Sell the SUV, buy a
looking,
car. Two-door car.
Right. Well, Nikki... So this is the Nicole mobile. This is the wife mobile. Wife does a bunch of driving, and this was going to be her. She told me after we wrecked the guy, she goes, I really missed just driving a car. whether it was the RS4 or the 911.
You took my advice and you bought a wagon.
Car.
You bought a wagon because there's utility.
We were looking
in a
at wagons. Yeah, we were looking at wagons for a long time. We were looking all over the budget range, right? E63 AMG was not going to be in the budget any way we sliced it because, as I mentioned, we're buying a house, wanted to cut back on car payment and or cash outlay a bit. So
makes sense.
Locally popped up a yellow, a Moly yellow, her favorite color, Audi S5. Okay, so it's all-wheel drive.
What is
yellow.
The yellow thing?
It's an Audi, which she likes.
Because there's like
know.
A there's like this fantasy
she likes
that
being
people have with
bright
color
and loud and
I understand. But
what is
there's
this
people
fantasy?
Have these fantasies with like you'll have somebody that just has I only buy white cars, and then they have only white cars. And I know a few people that do this. It's not just one. There's
I also know that
I only buy white cars.
Yeah,
I only buy yellow cars. Yeah. Red is the color for me. I'm what the hell is with that? I don't get
it. It's not
what
like we only
obsession?
Have yellow cars.
I know, but
we
she's
have all
obsessed
sorts of different
with
color cars.
I guarantee you, if there was a way for you to only own yellow cars, all of your cars would be yellow.
No.
If she could take the paint bucket on Photoshop and drop it through all your cars and go boop, 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 and change every single one of them to yellow, she would. Guaranteed. 100%.
That'd be cool. No. Honestly, she was hoping for orange. Like, if she would have been able to, like, pick anything, it would have been orange, which I would like because it would match the 911 that we have. And that'd be kind of cool to have, like, a couple orange cars, right? So, whatever. She likes a Moly yellow. It's bright. It's happy.
Or just kind of like moody yellow anyway.
It's Chris yellow.
It's moody. Moody. What? Moody and Chris are synonyms?
Historically speaking. So, this one popped up local because I was like, I had already booked flights to go to Chicago to get a A4 kind of rare spec Avant wagon. And it was at a used car dealership. And I talked to the guy once, and he was like just the worst communicator ever. And I was like, well, clearly you don't want to sell this car. And I don't really feel like leaving right now and doing, I mean, it's a short drive, it's a short flight regardless, but it's like, I got a lot going on. So this one was for sale locally right up in your neck of the woods. And I go, well, let's go look at it. Got some cash. And it is the last year of the 4.2 liter V8 in the S5 before they went to the 3 liter supercharger, which everyone's like, oh, 4.2, the chains are going to be terrible. Don't do the chains. I talked to the dealer. The chains have been done on this car, which is great. But also he goes, honestly, I don't know why they did, because these later motors, they never had problems. It's only the early 4.2s that people had problems with. So that's
good. Is this a naturally aspirated 4.2?
Yes, it is. Yep. So okay. I'm trying to figure out, I don't know enough to know what the difference is between this particular motor and the RS4. It used to be the difference between like an S4 V8 and the RS4 V8 that we had was the direct injection. But these later motors are also direct injection and make, I don't know, like 350, 360 horsepower as opposed to the RS4, which
does
430. Yeah.
That's honestly a little
disappointing. They rev to like 75 instead of 82. So I don't know exactly what the difference is.
That's honestly disappointing. The power.
Whatever.
300 and something horsepower
it seemed slower than I expected.
Look where we are in our lives,
again,
Jake, where we're like, 350 horsepower?
350,
what
360?
A pile
that's
of shit.
Terrible.
What a
that's
pile.
Terrible. Yeah.
Back in
exactly.
the day, it was like,
I
man,
know, it's
this
funny.
JH has got 90 horsepower. That's twice as much as my diesel had. Wow, we're flying.
Exactly. So mechanically good. When I was talking to the dealer, he goes, is it a manual? I go, no, it's not, which... She
good.
Didn't want a manual this time because she drives a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
And yes. And so he goes, well, if it's a DSG, that's your bigger concern. That dual clutch in those go out all the time. And I go, well, they didn't make them with a torque converter, did they? And he goes, actually, they did. It's kind of rare. And I get there expecting to see the DSG, and it's actually just an old fashioned torque converter car, which it felt pretty good. Like I'm fairly happy with it. So mechanically, it's sound, right? I looked up the history of it, and there was a, what do they call, minor front impact, because I get there, and I look at the car, I wanted to get there in daylight. Never buy a car in the dark, right? That's rule number one of buying any used car, period. So I get there in the daylight, luckily.
I can think of some other rules that are more important than not buying in the dark, but go ahead.
That's a big one. That's a rule. Yeah. We could make a list of rules on what to do when buying a car.
That sounds
that
like
would be a good
I'm gonna
list,
write that
actually.
Down. Yeah.
List buying car. All right, you write it down. But anyways, get there as the sun's still up, and I see that Imola yellow. Sure enough, it's rich, it's bright, it looks great on the rear. And I walk around to the front, and I was like, this is a totally different yellow. What's going on in the front? It's a totally different color yellow than in the back of the car. And
that
I'm like,
is not
this
good.
Is really weird. It's super sun faded. Like, was it like backed into a garage somewhere and the sun was beating on it for like the last 20 years of its life? But it's a 2012. So, yeah, no, it wouldn't even be 20 years. Anyways,
that's like
that's
11,
not
Jake.
20 years. Yes, that's not 20 years. Turns out.
Polish up on your math before your kid gets old enough
to
start asking you questions.
That's not, I don't get paid to do math, Chris. Unfortunately, I'm the one that does the Overcrest books.
Oh, man. That's like.
So I call up our friendly, friend of Overcrest Resource, Colin. I go, hey, can you run a Carfax quick for me while I'm sitting here before the guy shows up? And he goes, oh, this is interesting. There was a front collision. He goes, but if you look at the dates, it goes in for service at the dealer on, like, we'll call it Monday. The, crash is reported a day later, and then it shows that it left the dealership like 3 days later. And he's like, so,
wow.
Unless this is some weird situation, it makes sense that it happened at the dealership while they were like shuffling cars around, and you know, the whoever the tech was or
question,
the intern
though.
That was there moving cars. Yes.
What? Why? What?
I'm gonna explain it.
Why does the paint
hold
not
on.
Match if it was
yes,
done by the
let
dealer?
Let me explain. Exactly. Let me explain. So yes, because it's the front of the car where the impact was, and that's where it's faded. So they resprayed, and you can tell exactly where they blended it back in. And my theory is they either didn't use the correct paint or there wasn't an additive for UV resistance, and it just faded terribly. It doesn't make sense to me if it was done at the dealer. Maybe they outsourced it to Joey's Terribleness shop. But that's why it is no longer the same color. If we end up keeping it in the spring, I might just get the front resprayed because it'll be nice and look good then.
I would check and see if there's a warranty on the paint job if it was done by the dealer.
Actually, I will look at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Colin sent me the Carfax, so I will look into where that was done and call them. Other kind of fun facts, the interior is absolutely mint. It's great. Feel good about that. Mechanically,
except for the fact
great.
That it only has two doors and you have a small child. Don't understand.
This is not the primary car, the baby hauler. This is not the primary baby hauler. And we're moving to from rear facing
you
to front
so
facing now. There's
what
so much
error.
Space in the back of those things. There's so much space.
But you
awesome.
Still have to,
so
like,
you can just
okay. So
flip
you're walking
the
up
forward,
the car,
throw them
baby.
In.
Baby. No, no, no. Here's what's gonna happen. Throw them in. Here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna have baby.
You literally
in your hand.
Throw
them
in the back.
You're gonna open the door. You're gonna set the baby on the ground, and then you're gonna open the seat and then pick the baby up off the dirt and then put the baby.
And the
into
baby's
the car
ran
seat.
Across the parking lot. Yeah,
yeah, it's
no,
it's not going to be awesome.
He already
it's a,
likes
it's a
to climb in and out of his car seat by himself, and he's not even two. So it's going to be open the door, he climbs in, all I have to do is buckle him in. Easy
that
peasy.
That is false. You know
awesomeness.
Wrong. It's yep. fine. You just have to. I can't believe you're trying to justify having a two-door
I understand.
Car
it's not.
Car seat. It sucks. It's going
it's
to suck.
It's not ideal,
but it's
sure.
Okay.
But here's what's cool. This car, they never offered a Imola yellow in this year or Gen S5. Which means it was,
ooh,
I forget what
PTS.
The Audi, like exclusive. Yeah, it's a paint sample. They call it like their exclusive program. So as far
it's
as I
like
know, there was like
Nikki's
no
long
other
lost
ones
cousin
painted
that
this
also
color.
Loves yellow
she
cars.
She loves it. Exactly. And the dude had put on a very expensive like intake and exhaust system. And
oh.
I hate aftermarket intakes because usually it's just like a big cone filter sitting there, which is like that's
yep.
totally inefficient and dumb. This one just, it uses the factory snorkel and everything else, but it's like a carbon box with a tin end or whatever. So it's fine. Whatever. I would never buy it, but it's great.
Yeah.
It's fine. And then it was a nice APR exhaust with center resonators, full cat-back with the big mufflers in the back. Well, I get up to the car and realize there's no exhaust tips in the back. There's no mufflers I'm looking. He goes, yeah, you know, I put the exhaust on, but it wasn't loud enough. So I just cut the rear mufflers off. I go, do you have them? He's like, oh, yeah. Yeah,
what
they're right
he
here.
He cut them off.
Put them in the trunk.
How does it sound?
He literally cut. Okay. You turn it on at cold start, and it is obnoxiously
okay, hold on.
Loud.
Hold on a second. You don't. You turn on a computer.
I feel like you do turn this car on. And here's why. What's also very strange about this car is there was a time where things went to push button start, where it was like keyless, you know, you have the key in your pocket and then it's just push button. And then prior to that, you needed to insert the key. This was a weird in-between year. I swear they only did it for a few years at Audi, where you take the key, there's no blade on the key, and you insert it into the dash and have to, that's the on button. You hit the, it's not, you don't turn it. You literally just insert it into a button and just push it.
I had so that, I, feel like you I think, turn with turn it on. Just had a flashback to another car I owned. I owned a Passat CC with the VR6, which was a great car.
Man, I love those cars. That was my buddy has one of those.
Slammed. It was just awesome. And I think it had a similar, I don't know if you turned the key or not, but it was just a key, like weird
Volkswagen
thing.
Audi.
But no,
thing.
You don't. You turn on a light switch. You turn on a computer.
Right.
You turn on a microwave.
When you cold
start a microwave.
When you start it and it's cold, and it's cold start, it is obnoxious. And Chris, do you know why cold starts are louder in just about any gas car?
Let me think. Well, first of all, it holds the revs up a little bit. The revs are higher. It's running.
That's a secondary.
Okay, tell me why. I don't know why. I can't think of it.
I don't know. It's an emissions thing. So you have
catalytic
converters in your car. Right. So you have catalytic converters in your car. In order to get them up to their efficient operating temperature, they need to be a certain temperature. So literally what it does is it will do a, what is it? Your secondary air injection pump, which you may have heard of, will pump
air. Yeah, the thing you rip off every
old car. Yeah, it'll pump air into the exhaust manifold for the first usually like 30 seconds of starting it up, which then the O2 sensor is in a closed loop system and sees, oh, we're running lean, dumps more fuel. And so what it's doing is putting fuel and air into the catalytic converter to like burn like a jet engine in the exhaust manifold. So you're dumping fuel and air in there to get it hot, hot, hot. And then all of a sudden it goes into normal mode.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Like another
so that's
complicated
why it's
thing to fail.
Louder. Yes.
Yes.
So it's obnoxious when it's loud. It sounds really, really good. It sounds admittedly like, muscle car, good when you're under load, but it needs to go
back.
You're
already driving a yellow car.
The mufflers
need
to go back. Exactly.
Yeah.
So mufflers need to go back on, and that's the Audi that we bought.
This is such a, just so disappointed you didn't try to step out of the box and try something new.
I know, and we talked about this, and you can tease me about it all you want. The problem is, and I still want to like go try different things. Like we should make it a point to just go around and do and drive fun things. At this point in my life right now, after going through an accident, dealing with insurance, dealing with some other crap, and just happened to buy a house and I'm moving in a week and a half, like Jesus, it's bad timing. So that's where I was at with that. Believe me, I've gotten no end of disappointment from other people as well. But
Well, that's
also
okay. They're not you, so.
Correct. They don't get it. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You're allowed to give me grief about it. I would expect nothing less.
Yes. Yes.
Also, then bought another vehicle literally just yesterday where we're moving, has a really long driveway that is somewhat steep in places, and there's 16 and a half acres. And my dad wants a bigger, he just has a standard F-150, you know, a half ton truck. He wants a big beater truck to be able to haul like a skid steer, to be able to haul car trailers, etc. So like a 3/4 ton, 1 ton truck.
You know, you don't put the skid steer in the truck, right? It goes on a trailer.
No, I do know
so
that.
It doesn't
you haul
matter
it behind
if the truck
it, which he's,
looks
he's
shitty
hauled
or not.
It with a 150, F-150, whatever. No, you're right. He doesn't want a shitty truck. I should clarify that. But he didn't want to buy a new truck. He wanted just like, this is the whatever truck.
Okay.
And he's like, and you're going to need a plow truck. You're going to need a plow truck for that driveway.
No, like, you're not.
Okay. He
you
goes,
need a skid
so
steer
here's
for
the
your
deal.
Driveway.
Correct. I probably do, which I should come up and buy your in-law's skid steer.
Yes.
I'll go do that. Okay. But regardless, he goes, so here's the deal. I'll buy an old beater plow truck if I can use it when I want it and store it at your place.
Jake, let's go up and look at that skid steer and make sure it works and it starts. Let's drive up there and go look at it.
Let's do it.
Before it gets too snowy and cold and we can't get in there
anymore. Time right now, but yes, let's do it.
Before it snows, we should do it if you want it.
Maybe, yeah. We're looking at trucks. The thing is, this time of year, especially any truck with a plow on it goes instantly, like within 30 minutes of being posted anywhere. Especially
you know
anything under
buy,
like 10 grand.
There's an option here. You can buy a truck.
I know.
And then you could also buy a plow, and then you can put it on the truck. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's an option.
The mounts and stuff are like a couple grand. A plow by itself, for some reason, seems more expensive than if you just buy a truck with it on it.
Here's what I would have done if I were you. Mm-hmm. I would have went, I'm Jake Silbert. We made decent money. Okay. We just bought a really nice house.
Yep.
I'm really busy, and I don't have time for anything. So I think what I'll do is for this year, I'll just have
just
somebody
pay
plow the
someone.
Driveway.
Agreed. That's what I should have done.
Pay somebody to plow the driveway for
100%.
A year. And then,
but here's,
like,
here's the position
doing?
I'm in, Chris, is my dad is sending me probably 20 trucks a day via text message on Facebook Marketplace. What do you think of this one? Let's go get this one. How about this one? This one's great. Let's go get this one. Which is exciting, like, to be able to buy another vehicle, right? That's great. And he's going to buy it for me. That's great. You know, to use, like, it'll be a shared vehicle. Yes, so he paid for it.
Okay.
And
he's going to store it at your
place
with a plow in front.
Yes, and so I can plow, and he's just going to use it a few times to haul crap. And I'm like, that's great, but I kind of, like, I don't have time, and I just, like, fine, let's just go get something, right? And so there was one local. We went and looked at it.
Tell me what the stupid truck is.
My dad has high standards. Even though this is supposed to be a beater truck, he hates rust, right? He went through the entire C10 that we bought together, and like every panel has zero rust on it now, even though it has the patina still. And so he's looking at rusty old plow trucks saying these are too rusty, which to me is like, ah! So
that's what people do. They
we
take
the
rusty piece
at,
of shit truck and they turn it into a plow truck.
And you use
well,
it.
This thing.
Exactly. That's the whole point of a plow truck. Exactly.
Yep.
So the first one we looked at was too rusty, walked away. Just happened to be messaging another guy that was down in Red Wing, which was like 30 minutes away from Hastings, where we already were. And he's like, yeah, I'm home. Well, I looked at that. $5,200
what
I think
it?
We walked away.
Jesus.
It's a
look at
2000...
that. Look at the one.
2004 F-250 with the terrible 6-liter power stroke diesel. Wow. With it's a like quad cab big boy four door.
You can't even deal with
interior.
A diesel in a truck. This seems like this.
It's
every
kind
time
of
you've
fine. It's fine,
dude. Just every time you said, "Well, a diesel should be this." That this is the
it's,
this
it,
that the diesel should
know,
be that Jake
right.
always said.
The only thing that's more appropriate is a tractor. Anyways. It's a big truck. It has a really nice plow on it. Everything works. Yeah. So that's the other vehicle.
Wow. Great.
The problem is, well, here's the problem, Chris. A, it's a diesel. So that's already a problem. I don't like diesels, but whatever. You're right. It's great for this, for towing, for whatever. But this 6-liter power stroke, anyone that knows diesels is going to be like, you did what? Would you realize what you just did? You bought the worst motor ever in existence. It's going to blow up tomorrow. Tomorrow,
don't
Chris.
Don't people
blow
love
up.
Those power strokes? Don't they, like, buy the hell out of those things?
Yes. So the 7.3 liter was the one they made. Then they switched to a 6 liter, which is actually an international-based block. And they tried to go high-tech with everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all of the injectors are actually, instead of being... just pressure actuated from the pump. Their oil, they have fuel going to injector, and then they also have an oil line going to the top, and it's oil pressure activated, which is, I don't understand. Yeah, that's my understanding of what I read about. I read about these just quickly. And so there's
like
all these different components
that,
to it.
I don't.
Yeah, you have an oil pump as well. You have a high pressure oil pump as well as a higher pressure fuel pump. And then there's like all these different coolers.
Why not just have a high pressure fuel pump?
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. This is like me just reading about
this
it.
This sounds
once,
wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, this sounds
okay.
wrong.
Okay. Sure, it's wrong.
Everybody
I know there's
tell
a
Jake
high pressure.
Wrong.
Yeah, sure. Or it's not right. The big problem with these is they went from like 12 head studs per head on the old 7.3 to just 8 on these. So there's only 4 studs. And it's not even studs, it's bolts per cylinder. And so what will happen is the bolts will stretch or give out, and then you have head gasket leak, and that's no bueno. So what you can do is you can pull them out and put ARP studs in, and you don't have a problem. And this thing only has like 40 or 60,000 miles on it, and the guy we bought it from was a diesel mechanic, and he's like, yep, I did this, and this, which were all of the big problems that I read about on this forum on my way over to look at the truck.
Yep.
So I'm like, it's fine, whatever, I don't care. It's great. It's probably
can't
gonna
wait
blow
for
up,
the world
but
of
it's
pain.
Great. I just
all right. Tell me a little bit about
don't
CSF
do any
cooling.
Of it.
before we get into just a couple.
The high pressure oil pump that runs the fuel pump also has a cooler in it, which I'm sure, knowing CSF Cooling, they could help me out with. CSF Cooling has always been at the forefront of quality products at a fair price. Rich history stretching over 7 decades. They provide the best high performance and OEM plus cooling systems on the market today. CSF offers over 3,000 different cooling applications for the most popular makes and models on the road today. Half of those 3,000 are just the Bugatti Veyron. So there's so many coolers on it.
That's not true.
They probably don't even make those because that's not a big market, I imagine. They do make things from the classic copper.
I bet they do.
What? You think so?
It's got to be a standard thing. It's Volkswagen. I bet there's standard.
You're right.
Like,
it's probably just Volkswagen parts. That's the Passat. Yeah, like oil cooler. From classic copper brass radios for Land Cruiser, Jeeps, and Datsuns, they got you. The 80s Mercedes, BMW, and Audi, Porsche platforms, all the way up to all of your newer, more common daily drivers. They have everything for your needs. Check out their expanding classic series lineup. They have their performance series. It's awesome. Check them out at csfrace.com or on social at CSF Cooling, I believe. I believe that's right.
All right, check this out. Look at this thing, man.
Oh my God, they actually have it?
No. This is some other thing.
Okay, this is some other place. But you got to be your own radiator.
It's on sale.
Oh, $7,259.
Yeah.
Well, again,
that's it. It's on sale. 15% off. That must be a Black Friday deal.
Hey, there you go.
All right.
Why do you run a sale price for your Bugatti radiator? That's weird.
What? Well, they just kind of, I think it's an automatic. Automatic thing. So, what do you think is the motor trend car of the year 2024? And I think we should have Fedder back on to talk about their pick, but
it's not this. It's not, this is not what I would have picked. I looked ahead.
It is the Toyota Prius. Via Motor Trend.
Okay.
This is genuinely a fun car to drive. Deputy editor Alexander Stoklosa said, not for a Prius, but for a compact car generally. Gone are the 1.8-liter inline-4s and an afterthought of a plug-in hybrid system replaced by a new hybrid system anchored by a 2-liter 4-cylinder, more powerful motors, and larger, more energy-dense batteries for up to 57 miles per gallon for the Prius and 45 miles of all-electric range in the Prius Prime plug-in hybrid. It has a peak of 220 horsepower, which actually is not too shabby. It's also the first Prius available with all-wheel drive at launch, all starting for $30,000. Significantly undercutting America's average new car transaction price by more than $15,000. So, like, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I don't really. Did you see what it looks like, first of all?
I'm looking at it right now. It's very wedgy. I like that it's.
I gotta find a picture of this thing.
Not all headlights. Like, it's not terrible ish. Oh, God, what is that one? I just saw a picture of another one that looked terrible. Oh, that's a Hyundai.
Look at that. What is this front end situation here? Why are we doing this? It's got a boomerang headlight. And Hyundai had done the same thing with one of their cars, where the headlight goes out and then there's a body panel in and it comes back around.
Yeah, like Ferrari, I think, was the first to do it. It's very edgy and different. Where this all comes from is the advent of different lighting regulations. It used to be that you had to have, first of all, a sealed beam headlight, right? This was standardized.
Look at this engine.
Yeah.
What a nightmare.
Beautiful. Yeah, looks worse than the diesel.
So you think this thing looks cool? Do you like this car? Does it look cool?
Take the hybrid out of it. Yeah, it doesn't look cool. It looks okay. It looks more exciting than I think a Prius would, generally.
I'm just looking at this picture right here, and if you're listening, it is a Prius parked in front of a bushy industrial storage field.
Yeah, so that it looks lower is why they do that.
There's tumbleweeds in the front. So I'm just imagining set. Like, hey, we need more tumbleweeds. Where's the tumbleweed guy? Bring in the tumbleweeds.
Well, what they're doing there is hiding the ground clearance line so it looks lowered, which makes it look better and less tall.
It's honestly, I will say,
from a shape perspective, not bad.
It's not a bad-looking car. The interior looks, where's the interior shot? Interior looks okay. Big giant screen, which I don't know.
Black leather,
big
screen.
I still think you should be able to hide the screen. You should be able to put a push button.
You can't. Do you know why?
Go away.
Nope. So Audi did that. Up until 2018. In 2018, the regulation states that every car, every vehicle is equipped with a rear-facing camera, right? And so Audi's like, great.
Put it in
the screen.
Instrument cluster.
We have the screen that retracts. No. you need to be able to immediately see behind you when you put it into reverse. The 2 seconds it takes for a screen to come up. Yeah. So that's why they don't hide screens anymore.
Because the speedometer is all a screen, too.
Really dumb. You're right.
Right.
That's where they could do it.
So just put it in there.
Probably. There's probably even some sort of regulation where, like, how big the backup screen has to be. I don't know.
Right.
It's dumb. I agree. I loved when Audi was able to just put the screen down into the dash because it made it look super clean. It was great. The S3 we had for a hot minute had that, and it was awesome.
So this Alexander guy said, it's generally a fun car to drive, not for a Prius, but for a compact car generally. And I think that that metric, what they're doing is comparing it to other compact cars now. And I feel like we're comparing things on a scale and metric that's continually depreciating. The sense of cool is continually depreciating. And
I don't know if that's true.
It's like being tortured every single day. And after a while, when they come in and like tickle torture you, you're just not as ticklish
you're
as
like,
you used
oh,
to
that
be. And you're kind of getting used to it. Because I was thinking about like, I was thinking the GT4 was cool. And like, 5 years ago, I would have nuked whatever building that it was being built in, right? It was just so uncool to me. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm like, am I being desensitized by all this stuff to going, yeah, this isn't so bad? And I think at one point I compared it to like, when you open the fridge and you're hungry, you'll eat anything in there. And we're so hungry for something that's cool that when something that even doesn't look like a total pile of shit comes along, we're like, hey, look at that thing.
That's
this
not
is genuinely
bad.
A fun car to drive.
That's not
just for a Prius, but for a compact car, genuinely. I'm just thinking, is this tech so becoming so androgynous and vanilla that everything is going to be pretty quick and pretty good? Like, everything's going to be pretty quick and pretty good.
Yes, I would actually say, and if we got Joel Fetter on here, he would tell you basically the opposite. It's not that everything's in a decline.
I know. He doesn't
of
agree
malaise.
With me on any of this.
He would say that car like materials are getting better, so this car is probably lighter than a predecessor. Battery
sure
tech's getting better, it's probably lighter, it's more
again.
Powerful.
Yep.
It's like it probably is more fun to drive and engaging and handles better and performs better.
Now with
than...
a CVT, not this car. We're talking generally, though. Yes, I agree. Yeah, generally,
yes,
probably.
But generally speaking, then whatever you're going to compare it to. You know?
What are we comparing
like,
it to?
I bet this... Well, okay. Think of a something that's meh, but okay. Like Mark IV GTI. How about that?
Okay.
Do you think this or a Mark IV GTI is cooler?
A Mark IV GTI, without question. I would rather drive a Mark IV GTI than a
brand new
Prius.
I bet if you drove them back to back, this one's more impressive.
I'm sure it does outperform because a Mark IV GTI has 150 horsepower or 180 horsepower 1AT.
They're heavy.
This has a 220 horsepower with an electric motor. I'm sure it scoots pretty good. But
so,
like,
yes, I think the tides are rising, actually, not declining.
I don't know, man. I feel like there's so much more to it. There's like we're... Everything is defined. You know, you ever meet somebody where they're so amicable that you just think they're full of shit? They're like such a nice person.
That I think
just...
that's how you thought I was when you first met me. You're like, you're
it's
fake.
It's possible.
Why are you so fake?
And I feel like these cars are... There's
times.
No flaws. There's no flaws. You need flaws in a person. You need flaws in things that you love. And
it lacks character, maybe, Ben.
Well, character is defined
that's
by flaws. It's defined
correct.
By positives
that's, I'm agreeing
and negatives.
With you. Yeah, I'm
positives
agreeing with you.
Positives and negatives
that it lacks
define
character.
And
there's no quirks.
Yeah. Anyway,
I would say it's not very quirky, therefore not very necessarily cool.
I feel like
or
we are dealing with a depreciating sense of cool. I think what is cool
it's,
is
things
becoming
are getting
less cool
more,
than it was before.
And it's because there's lack of character. I think that is it. We're seeing less, what would you call it? Just like differences in the marketplace. Things are becoming
more
androgynous.
So speaking of depreciating, don't click on this link. What do you think is the number one? If you can get one of the top three right on this,
okay.
I will.
I'm not even looking at the notes, so I don't know what we're talking
okay.
about.
If you can get one of the top, actually, let me lay this. Or if you can get one of the top five most depreciating cars correct, I will come.
Top depreciating.
I'm going to come help you move anyway, but I will provide all of the coffee. On the day that we move.
Oh, that's
okay?
nice.
So I will,
yeah.
Yes, I will buy
I like
all
that.
The coffee for everybody that's there. Everybody.
Oh, I like it.
If you can get,
which, hey,
you better
open
not
invite.
Be cheating.
Anyone in the Twin Cities listening to Overcrest, get at me and come help me move.
See, yeah, I told you this story, but this is kind of funny. So back when Euroworks existed, there was a, and we had a, it was such a great community, man. It really was.
It was
such
really
a great
cool.
community of everybody.
Yeah.
And I remember moving once in the height of Euroworks. I mean, it would go, you would hop on the forum and it would be like 75 people.
You couldn't
active.
Even keep up. It was, yeah, you couldn't keep up.
It was insane, right? It was absolutely insane. It makes the Discord
absolutely.
Look like a kindergarten room where half the kids are out sick. It was insane. It was so good. Anyway, so I'm like, hey, I'm moving tomorrow. Can anybody help?
Yeah. Yep.
So be there at like 4. Everybody got there at like 4. Everything was in the truck by 4:06. I mean, it was like ants. You know where you see like the thing where the yeah. ants are carrying everything away from the picnic? That's yeah. what it was. They all came. And then everything just, was. Boom. It was in. It was done. By the time I got to
amazing.
The new place, called the pizza place and said, hey, I need like 16 pizzas. Can you yep. have them here? They're like, okay, yeah, we'll be there in like 25 minutes. The moving was done.
Everything was done.
By the
it
time
was done.
The pizza showed up, it was insane. All right. So I will buy
That's
all
amazing.
The coffee if you can get any of the top five. And
the highest
if you get one right, I will
cars.
Know that you are cheating. So, but go
no,
ahead.
No, I'm not looking. Okay. So I can't win at this, is what you're telling me just now.
No, there's no way. But that's why I'm offering to buy like $75 worth of coffee.
Okay. What are the constraints? Is this like the cars that were sold in the last 10 years depreciated?
Okay. Here,
5
I'll
years?
Read you the, I'll read you the heading. Depreciation is one of the most important factors considered when purchasing a car. The last thing you want is to see your car, blah, blah, blah. I see cars analyzed from over 1 million car sales from November 2022 to October of 2023 and discover which vehicles depreciate the most.
Okay.
And there's 10. We'll go through them and
okay.
see if you
I'm
get any
say...
of the top 10, actually.
It's,
you get one guess. One guess, the first one.
That's all I get is one guess.
For $75 worth of coffee, you bet your ass you get one guess.
Okay, so it's going to be something sold in the last 5 years, depreciation. It's not going to be a really big name brand because you said I'm never going to get it, so it's not a Porsche. It's got to be, is it going to be a Japanese thing? One of like the Acuras or Lexus? No, those hold their value. It's going to be, are there any American cars that are high that go low? Maybe. Actually, maybe. Ooh. I'm going to say an Escalade.
Can you be more specific?
Oh, no. I got it. I got it, didn't I?
You have to be more specific.
Dude, so much coffee. So much coffee. There's no. Okay. It
All
is.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a Cadillac Escalade. And because
Damn
you
it.
Want me
I
to
think
be
there's
specific,
no way.
It's oh. maybe even the hybrid version. Yeah, there you go.
Awesome. Fuck off. I owe coffee now. Damn it.
Right, I'm not going to hold you to that, but that's really
no,
funny
that's
that
why.
I got that.
I deliver on my
do you know,
Maserati
do you know why
Quattroporte
I would not
one.
Have. Here, let me explain myself. I would not have thought of that until buying this truck the other day because I was like, 500 or 5 grand gets you actually a decent amount of truck if you don't care too much. And I looked, and in the glove box was the window sticker, and it was like a $60,000 truck. And I was like, man, think of depreciation. And so that's why my mind went to American truck.
So the moral of this story is don't buy a Maserati. Because I'm looking at this, the average Maserati price looks like around 50 to 90 grand. They lose about 60% of their value after 5 years.
Wow.
60%.
Yeah, it's
Jaguar,
an Italian,
brand new Jag loses 60%. An Audi A7, 60%. Q7, 56. Another Escalade, 56%. A6. Most Audis are getting hammered. Volvo S90, 55.
Wait, where was
55.
The Escalade on the list of 1 through 10?
5.
Okay. So I didn't get number 1.
Did I say
one.
Top 5
number
or
Number 1
top
was
3.
What? You said top
did
10.
Did I say top 5 or... Yeah, but
Doesn't
did
matter.
I in the bet I said you have to get one of the top 3, right? Or did
well,
I
the
say
good
top
news
five?
Is it's all recorded. I'm pretty sure you said it was not top 3. It was either top 5 or top 10.
I think
10.
I said top 3 and then I went top 5.
Okay, regardless.
But yeah,
I don't care.
I mean yeah, don't buy
what was
a Maserati.
Number one? So what was number 1? The Maserati?
Maserati. Yeah, Maserati Quattroporte. Yeah, it was a new MSRP 90 grand. Average depreciation after 5 years 65%.
Wow. Yeah.
65%. You can get one of these for under 30 grand. Not that you want one because they're ugly.
I looked at them. I considered it because it has a Ferrari V8 in it. They sound amazing. 4 doors. But yeah, no.
Yeah, but it's a Ferrari run with Chrysler crap. Yeah. I don't want that. That's like the worst.
Well, it's not the Chrysler Maserati TC thing from back in the 90s.
No, no. Those are awesome. It's
mostly
all right,
Fiat,
I think,
actually.
That's it, I guess, right?
Is that it?
That's all we got?
I'm going to look at the news again. Depreciated car. Apparently, do you want to save the rest of these? Or we can just read the headline?
Yeah, we can save a few.
Let's talk about F1, because I was at the F1 watch party with you. It was very cool. But I left because I was exhausted. Did anything happen after I left?
The race was pretty. I was honestly pretty impressed with the race. I thought it was good. I thought it was entertaining. It wasn't a giant clusterfuck. I didn't want to be embarrassed over here. You know, and like it's in America, I just be like, wow, look at all those monkeys that don't know how to build a track.
It was interesting. Before the green flag even dropped, we were like, wow, look how close turn one is to the starting line. And right away we called it. We're like, there's going to be a pile up. And sure enough, there were three or four cars spun out right away.
Not a disaster, though. Nobody was going fast enough to really fuck their car up, which I think was, was pretty good.
Okay, so I didn't miss anything big that everyone's talking about.
I think the spectacle of it was incredible. At night.
Did Verstappen win?
Neon
Did he make it back?
Yeah, he won.
I don't even know who won.
Yeah,
That's dumb.
Yep, he won. Damn. Don't care. Damn. Fuck that guy. He was such an arrogant prick. Yeah. Can't stand that guy. I can't stand him, and I can't stand Hamilton. I don't like Hamilton either. I respect their skill, but like, they're so vain. I just can't. And I get it. You have to be like, to get to that level, politicians are the same way. They're just arrogant people. And I think like, if you look at Daniel Ricciardo, I bet he would be better if he wasn't
such a nice guy. Such a nice guy. We love him. Yeah.
Anyway, I was thinking it's such a spectacle. I was thinking like Dubai and stuff like that must be looking at this like spectacle of Vegas and this amazing track and circuit and the event and everything. I bet they're jealous. I bet they're jealous of how awesome it was.
You think they're jealous? I don't know
They're
going to
build a sphere.
Perception.
They're going to build a sphere.
There you go.
And it's probably
going to
be bigger.
Like a driver's helmet looking around.
Yeah.
I did
it was programmed
to watch where the cars were. Like on the track, if you look, it was like going around looking at them.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That's cool.
Like, I don't know. Was someone back there like, oh, and make it look over here. Make it look over here in real time. Yeah.
Oh, man. That sphere seems like quite a thing. Yeah, it seems like
I would like to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to go inside. Apparently, I don't want to get into the sphere. Never mind. All right. Next week, we have Ryan Zimalin coming on. He wrote the Cult of GTR. And I thought it was going to be, that's next week. I thought it was going to be
the episode
that you guys are listening to right now, but it's not next week. We're trying to keep to our schedule. We've got set up to bring things back home with being the most amazing, pretty good podcast in
the world.
Yes. So we'll have Ryan on next week to talk of Cult of GTR and a bunch of Skyline stuff, which I found out I am a JDM ignoramus.
I give a little bit of a history story at the beginning to give us some context, which is great. Who else is an ignoramus?
Everyone that doesn't sign up for the Drivers Club and support
the show. Well, I was just going
Overcrest.
To comment about the Drivers Club. Yes. Mm-hmm. For as little as $5 a month, you too can be in the know and not be so ignorant when it comes to all things Overcrest. You get exclusive access to all of our past episodes that are Drivers Club only. And you have your own section on the Discord where everyone in there right now, just talking trash about
all the
freeloaders. Yep. Everyone else.
That's right.
Not in the cool, no. You know what we could even do, Chris?
overcrestproductions.com/partyhouse.
That'll work. I set it up. That'll work.
I'm trying it right now.
Yep. What I was going to say, Chris, since you didn't want to get into the sphere, I think we'll sign off here, but then we're going to keep talking and post it up on the Drivers Club. How do you feel about that? Just as a little extra read all about it.
Because that makes Drivers Club work, because that makes a lot of extra work for me.
Okay.
In editing. I don't want to do that.
We'll do something later for the Drivers Club.
Party house.
Mm-hmm. See?
Wow, it works.
Yep.
Everything.
It's because I made it our 404 page, just a redirect to that.
Overcrestproductions.com/ everything works.
You're welcome.
Look at that.
However, if you search for Chris's too lazy dash so here or something, I forget what it is. There's specifically a specific link I made just for you that's like a fast search. and I don't remember what it is.
I need that.
Okay, let me go find it.
It says there, not what you're looking for. Try searching below instead.
Right, yeah, but there's a specific one for you that was like, Chris is too lazy to find this, so he can search right here. And it's a really long, obnoxious URL.
I have so much trouble finding anything. Like,
yeah,
I just,
that's why I clearly built
a page
just for you.
Is it in my email? Is it in a text message? Is it in a Asana? Is it in on the website somewhere?
Find it.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's it for today. We will see you guys next week.
Next week. Yeah. Okay.
Next week.
Take care.